Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know who you are?
Steven is my name. Even Steven.
Will you say something, Steven?
Steven or else media.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode number 24, The Return of the Ultra Humanite. Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host. My name is Steven. And 1,000 miles over there to my right is another host, Mr. Ed Moore.
Howdy. Howdy, Doug S.
Howdy. Oh, hey, Doug's joining us live via YouTube chat, comments.
Comments,
chat,
I think.
So, hey, Doug.
For our recording of episode 9. But not of the show. This
right.
is episode 24 of the show.
Yes. Episode 9 of the making of.
Yes.
Which we try to do, you know, we, for those who may be listening for the first time, we, Ed and I get together, live stream and, we do our episodes in batches. So we're going to try to get to episode 24, 25, and 26 tonight.
Yep.
And then hopefully we can get together next week and do 3 or 4 more. And we haven't done this in a while. Because I got sick last week, and it sucked.
I had to beg off, too. I forget what happened Monday.
Well, I was wondering about that. I noticed, did the new season of Dancing with the Stars start on Monday?
Yeah, last night. Yeah, that's why I couldn't last night, because I had to podcast prep with the wife by watching the show.
Yeah, because you do that show, Dance Fever.
Yep.
You got a cat behind you now, too.
Yeah, I saw the tail there. Thinking about it, you know, we haven't gone on Disney Plus to see if it's on there unlive, if you can watch it after the fact, or if it's...
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Which would be interesting. I would hope that they would just do it live and then that's it. That way, it would be more an enticement for people to watch it then, you know, and there would be a higher viewership at that point.
Yeah, with something like that, I would think that if they put it up on Disney Plus, they might wait until the season's over.
Well, I mean, there is live voting of the audience, right? So obviously you wouldn't be able to do that if you watched it, but, you know, at least you could still say, well, yeah, I watched, you know, this week's episode. I just had to wait until Wednesday night or whatever. Yep. But we need to check that out to see what it is, just so we know it. That'd be interesting because it's the first live on Disney Plus of anything. So, I don't know.
That'd be interesting because typically a show like that, unless it's a Disney Plus original, a show that's on ABC that they're going to then stick up on a streaming service the next day typically goes to Hulu because they own Hulu.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's our banter that has absolutely nothing to do with Superman.
That's all right.
There you go.
That's all right. One thing I do want to mention, and I'll probably mention this in the next episode as well, but I have a new solo podcast coming up that does have something to do with Superman.
Yes, it does.
This episode that we're recording now airs on September 26th, Monday, September 26th. So the next week, October the 6th, we'll see episode 0 of Just Another Fanboy Presents The Death of Superman. And I'm going to be reading every issue in the Death and Return of Superman storyline. And then talking about them on this show. There's a trailer up now, and if I can think about it, I'll put a note in a link in the show notes. But it's just it'll be at presents.justanotherfanboy.com. So if you have read The Death of Superman, or you're looking for an excuse to read it, here you go. Read along with me. And
is there going to be one book per episode?
Yes, I'm going to try to do what John does over on his Superman in Crisis show, where because the episode zero is more of a here's what you kind of need to know before getting into the Death of Superman. And so episode one will launch on October 13th. And that is the week that 30 years ago, issue number 18 of the Man of Steel came out, which is when the Death of Superman storyline started. So each week, 30 years later, I'm going to try to release the episodes of the show. Like episode two will actually be about a Justice League comic and a Superman comic, because both of those are in the storyline and they both came out in the same week.
So the episodes are tied to weeks, not necessarily books. Okay.
Yeah. And because of that, there will be weeks that there won't be episodes that come out. Right. I was kind of surprised when there are a few number of them in there. There's even like a whole, almost an entire month where they don't, like after Superman dies,
right?
They go like 3 or 4 weeks without releasing any Superman comics. It's
I guess that was part of the thing, I guess.
Yeah, pretty weird. But
okay.
Cool. Yeah, that's something that folks can look forward to. And
don't believe it's anything anybody's talking about right now, and I haven't seen anybody say that to watch for it. So
yeah, and I'm
you may be out there on an island.
Well, I was going to do a completely different storyline for this show. And then I read that the 30th anniversary was coming up in October. And I thought, right. Well, that's perfect. I'll just do that first. And the storyline that I was going to do, and I'll give it away now. I was going to do the Clone Saga. That is there's so many issues in that freaking storyline.
Yeah,
I think I was biting off a little bit more than I could chew. Jumping into the first thing I do to be the Clone Saga, that probably wasn't a good idea. So, but yeah, were you around? Were you reading during the Death of Superman? Did you go into a comic book store and buy that issue?
Okay, let's see. That was probably the early 90s. You said 30 years ago. Of course, that would make it early 90s.
92.
Yeah, actually, that was my first comic book shop that I ever found. I was in graduate school in Huntington, West Virginia, home of the Marshall University Thundering Herd, for those of you that may be sports fans or, I don't know, college fanatics. I don't know why else you would know it if you're not a sportsy person. And Image was why I was going.
Yeah.
But I do believe, and I don't think I had it because in one of the great purges it probably went, but I did have a black bag, whichever issue it was. Superman, I guess it was.
75, yeah.
The black bag, and it was sealed and everything, and I never opened it. That was until last year, I think, or maybe the year before. Sometime during the pandemic, I finally read it.
Yeah.
But that was the only involvement that I ever did. I knew it was going on, but I was not DC. I was not Superman. I don't know. I was too good for all that because I was buying all the Image stuff. I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, I did grab a black bag and that was it.
Nice. Yep. All right. Yeah, I was, I think that's the storyline that got me back into Superman.
Okay.
Because I had, you know, John Byrne got me started with Superman and then I had stopped. And I believe I was working at a comic book store at the time. But that's what got me back into Superman. Doug says that was during his long hiatus. Well, Doug, if you haven't read it, here's your chance. Get on in it.
Yep.
Get all in that Superman.
It's not bad. I thought when I read it, like I say, the past year or 2 years, I forget exactly when I did finally get around to it. It, for me, it definitely had its ups and downs, not being tied into DC or Superman. You know, it was definitely very much a standalone endeavor for me. I was just reading this storyline. And I was entertained enough to read all of it. It didn't throw me off and make me quit or anything. Rage quit. Ah, stupid book. That almost happened to me this weekend. I read about a third, almost half of a major X storyline that's going on right now, and it just about made me quit reading comic books. I kid you not. I was just like, oh.
I'm so behind on Marvel that I tried to get into the Hickman X books.
Right.
And just got distracted. So read some and never got back into it. But yeah.
I would, if somebody's wanting to read Marvel, I would honestly suggest they do what I thought or think that you were doing as far as reading the older stuff.
Yeah.
You said you started at the beginning of a particular year or 85, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Just do that. Because in my estimation, as a longtime Marvel reader, those stories are infinitely better than most of the poo that they put out now.
I have to agree. And I know we sound like a couple of old fogies when we say that, but
that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. I've tried to get into new Marvel stuff quite a number of times recently. And there's some of the stuff I do enjoy.
Sure. Yeah.
But
yeah.
In general, it's like I feel like an old man reading this stuff because I'm like, I have no idea. No, I don't recognize any of this. This is not my Marvel universe, you know?
Yeah.
DC, for some reason, however, I just feel totally comfortable with a lot of the new DC books.
Okay.
Well, that are 6 months old because.
Well, that's new for how you're having to read it.
But which is, you know, I've always been a Marvel zombie. And yet right now, as far as the new stuff, it's DC's what's doing it.
Well, I read. I guess I'm a FOMO X reader, to be honest.
Explain that.
Fear of missing out.
Oh, yeah. Nope. Yep. Been there.
FOMO. Yeah. So there is one or two books of the, I don't know, 273 every month that they put out that I actually enjoy. And unfortunately, the rest I read because I feel I have to. And that motivation is quickly running dry. It's not enough. So, now, there are other books. Captain America with Steve Rogers, I'm really enjoying. The new Spider-Man book that started up, the new Daredevil book. I like both of those. So, you know, there are some things.
Yep.
I'm not a big fan of what they're doing with the Avengers.
I'm not a
big fan of the X-Men. And so
I've tried to get into the Avengers a number of times.
Yeah.
Because a lot of Jason Aaron stuff I read and just fall in love with, but I cannot get into his Avengers for some reason.
Well, and here is my thinking. This came to me the other day. I don't know, when I was on the porcelain throne or I was in the shower or, you know, wherever we do our best thinking nowadays, particularly as old men. What is the interest in, particularly it's been going on with the Avengers since Hickman took over the Avengers many, many years back. What is that? Almost 10 years ago. You know that whatever they're building to, that this universal, that's not going to come. It's not going to happen. They're not going to stop making Marvel books. The Marvel universe isn't going to blow up. All of the Avengers are not going to die. So I'm like, that's where you're taking the story. And I know that's not where you're going to go. So for me as a reader, what is the point of reading that?
Yep.
You know, now, like I think the reason that I am able to keep reading the X books is because there are characters that interest me. And I just want to know what is happening with those characters for later on when I do start liking their books. At least I'll be familiar with references and things like that.
Yeah.
But you know, particularly with the Avengers, since Hickman, it's just been these huge, the world is going to end.
Yeah.
The universe is going to end. All time is going to end. I mean, everybody keeps trying to outdo everybody else. And it's like, to what point? Because what you're hinting is going to happen will never happen. Yeah. So where is the, what's the point? Is what it is.
Yeah, Doug says he's not reading any Marvel at the moment. He's reading some DC books, but mostly he's reading other publishers. Yeah.
Well, that's me. I mean, you know, for years there were other books that I saw and I know that came out, but I just didn't have the time or the resources because I was a Marvel zombie, Stephen, like you were.
Yeah.
Well, now I have the time, so I'm going all the way back to the 70s and reading a lot of these seminal things that people talk about just to see and stuff. Today I went down a Howard Chaykin rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You know, somebody, Rob Liefeld talked about him on his podcast today. And, you know, so I'm like, oh, well, I know he's been around, you know, how long, what's he done? And I'm like, Howard Chaykin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yeah, I was just reading the, well, I only got a few pages into it, but I started to read the very first Star Wars comic from Marvel and was surprised to find Howard Chaykin. mm-hmm. on that. That kind of mm-hmm. surprised me, because when I think of Howard Chaykin, as far as, you know, stuff from back then, my mind goes to his indie stuff, like American Flag, I guess.
Right. And certainly. That's,
you know, I didn't realize he had been over on that kind of stuff as well.
Well, and the funny thing is that he was pretty much Marvel until he got done with the Micronauts.
Yeah.
And he took a break. He didn't want the Micronauts, and it just tapped him out creatively. He's like, you know, I can't do this. And yeah, Doug S. liked American Flag too. You know, I have not read that. I've read spot Never issues, yeah. but yeah. So there we go. That's the life of a comic reader with too much time.
Yeah, that's one of those books. Because my older brother is the one who really got me into comics. He was mm-hmm. he had went to a comic book store before I did, of course, because he was older and he could drive. And so books like American Flag and God, what were some of the others that I was thinking of just the other day? Sable.
Okay, John Sable, freelance. Yeah,
yeah. A couple of others that I associate with my older brother. I've never read them, but I remember them being in his room. And mm-hmm. I keep meaning to check some of that stuff out, because he always seemed to enjoy them. Grimjack was one I yes. remember him yes. reading a lot of, and The Badger, which you've been reading for Newsprint Commando. So
yep, yeah, that's a good solid indie stuff there. It's not, you know, some of the more fringy indie. That's like right down the middle of the lane. Good. Yeah. People refer to it and everything kind of indie stuff. That's good stuff.
All right. Well, that was a lot of banter.
That was.
So, let's get into the main topic of the episode today. We're looking at the return of the Ultra Humanite, which appeared in Action Comics number 17. Written by Jerry Siegel, pencils by Joe Shuster, inks by Paul Cassidy. This was published by DC Comics with a cover date of October of 1939. According to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, it had a approximate sale date of August 31st, 1939. And here's what happened. The ship Clarion is aflame and being buffeted by titanic waves, and Clark Kent is assigned to cover the disaster. After watching a dozen Coast Guard members drown in a futile attempt to reach the beleaguered ship, Clark sheds his suit and swims to the vessel as Superman. After literally battering back people trying to jump overboard, Supes commands the passengers to help him fight the blaze, eventually venturing deep inside the fiery hold with a fire hose himself to quench the flames. The Clarion springs a leak after this, and Superman jumps overboard and pushes the ship to shore. Coming aboard with the investigating detectives as Clark Kent, the hero points out the hold is full of empty drums and gas cans, confirming sabotage. Clark pays a visit to the head of the line that owns the ship, and after bodily hoisting the boss's assistant out of the way, learns that he has been contacted by saboteurs who demand $5 million or they'll destroy every ship in his line, prompting Clark to at least admire their bravado. Just then, they call to give him the specifics on delivering their payoff. Clark tries to get the operator to trace the call, but is told there were no incoming calls to the building. It would take an extremely clever criminal to send a telephone call and leave no trace, Clark notes, such as his old enemy, Ultra. Upon leaving, some of the Mastermind's henchmen grab Clark and rough him up, which he goes along with. But after they throw him out, he changes to Superman, runs down their car, and drops it and its passengers off on top of a building to show them who they're messing with. Next, the Man of Steel follows the messenger as he goes to deliver the extortion money to the saboteurs, saving the man when they try to kill him to keep the location of their hideout secret. Not only that, but finding out the Mastermind was indeed Ultra Humanite, who's protected by a transparent wall. Superman busts through on a second try, but it's all for naught, since the wicked scientist was never there. It was just a hologram. At least he didn't get his blood money, but Clark later wonders when they will meet again. Ed, what did you think?
I actually enjoyed this one.
I did.
Had multiple settings there. I still, just have such a difficult time with this iteration, I guess, of Superman. He is just, he is so much more aggressive than anything we see now. His sitting by while however many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, there's probably 12 to 15 guys in that rescue boat.
Yeah.
He just lets them drown.
Yeah.
It's, you know, oh, look, they're going to try. Oh, they failed. Well, oh, I guess shucks. I need to do something.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I'm like, Supes, dog. I mean, you know, that in this story, that's probably the thing that really stuck with me is that he just sat by. And I know that's kind of harsh. I mean, I understand that his motivation probably is to let regular man take care of it before Superman has to intervene. You know, I can appreciate that. And also, I guess at this point, I mean, he can't fly or anything. So, you know, what's he going to do to save him? He's going to swim out and grab one and swim back and swim out and grab one. Well, he wouldn't be able to get them all. You know, so I guess the way that he's written right now, it's like, well, once it happens, what could he do to save them?
Right.
And except for maybe one or two, I guess the answer is nothing. I mean, he couldn't save them all.
The Superman Super Show will return after these messages.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, back to the Superman Super Show.
So, yeah, I mean, logically, it makes sense, but it's very hard for us not to think about Superman of today.
Yeah.
And how he would have just, oh my gosh, he would have taken care of everything before the Coast Guard even got in the water.
Right. You know, he would not have let them go out there in the storm and put themselves in danger. And you know, that's my fault because I am comparing, you know, two completely different iterations of the character. And it's not really fair. I mean, at some point, this Superman just didn't work anymore. So they changed some things up, over and over and over and over until, looks like Steven's dropped out. Maybe he hit his camera. Can you hear me at all, Steven?
Nope. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Your camera's up. It's just, you can't really compare the two. It's not fair. And part of that is what brought us to doing this to begin with, to see about and learn about this particular Superman. So that's what we're attempting to do. But now I believe that Steven has dropped out completely and he is coming back. Maybe he's trying. So is your audio back, Steven?
My audio is back. I got this freaking cat laying on my laptop.
But the video is not back.
Trying to get started back up here.
Okay. So let's see. What else did I note? I did also note that there was a hanging Superman here in this issue. Let me flip on to give a panel number. There you be. A panel number, hopefully. I made a note that there was one, but I don't. Oh, there it is. Panel 84 is our hanging Superman for this.
Yay, Superman hanging from a ledge.
That brings us up to 9 in the 20, what is this, 4? The 24 stories that we have talked to. 24 stories, and he's hanging. Get it? 24? Yeah. So this is the 9th incident of that out of 24.
Nice. You know, the thing I think that stuck out the most for me in this story, and I don't know the idea behind it, but I don't know if they refer to the Ultra-Humanite at all as the Ultra-Humanite. Freaking cat. God, I swear to God. unplug this camera and plug it back in. Anyway, I don't know if they refer to the Ultra-Humanite by the full name at all in this entire story. They keep referring to him as Ultra, which I thought was kind of odd.
I agree. I don't believe that they said the two words together.
Yeah. And I don't know. When I originally heard the name, the Ultra-Humanite, my first thought wasn't first name Ultra, last name Humanite, you know, like Bob Smith. But I don't know why they would shorten it for this entire issue unless somebody just didn't feel like lettering the Ultra-Humanite, you know? That's a lot of letters, yeah. But I thought it was kind of weird.
Also, want to make note here that the cover is a scene that has absolutely nothing to do with the Superman story.
Yeah, nothing at all.
He is waylaying a World War I era tank. Yeah. He's being shot at by a machine gun nest. And I mean, he's not, you know, he's not engaged in war. Well, I'm sorry. Well, no, this 1939. Yeah, I don't know. This might still be the style of tank that was being produced at the beginning of World War II. Obviously, we know it changed because this is not what they look like now.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing. Nothing to. So they Siegel or Schuster.
Schuster.
Did he do the? I don't remember looking to see who did the cover. So
I don't know who did the cover. Yeah,
whoever it was just did a cover.
Yeah.
I mean
that's not all that different to a lot of the covers we see nowadays.
Well, nowadays, but it's I didn't think they were doing it back then.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for I don't know. I don't know if it's because it's an anthology and they just we need a cover for this one. Let's look through. You know, this here's something that we put together 6 months ago. You know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah. It's weird. Because we get another Superman cover, not in the next issue of Action Comics, but the issue after that. And I don't think that has anything to do with,
with
the story either.
Pay attention when I flip to there.
I don't remember. But
so, as far as the story, let's see. What else would I was kind of, and again, this is my comparing now to then. I was kind of disappointed with the fact that Superman had to jump into the ocean. He had to swim out to the boat, you know, because again, ultimately, what in the world is he going to do? I mean, he is very, almost pedestrian at this point in his superpower.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it'd be like, I don't know, Sandman, let's say the original incarnation of Sandman. He's a regular dude that had his sleepy gun. And how is he going to save this boat?
Yeah.
No? And yeah, Superman is impervious and he's strong and he's fast, but he's fast swimming. I guess it just took him, a couple seconds to swim all the way out to the boat. We definitely see that as he's trying to motivate everybody on the boat to do something to save the boat because he is but a single man. And so he can't, in essence, do everything. Whereas now, you know, we have the omnipotent, almost omnipresent, almost omniscient, almost Superman, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. It really got hammered home this time because it was a big situation that he was trying to rectify, not a specific or not a car or saving miners in a mine or, you know, it's like, no, it's a several hundred person ship out in the water.
Yep.
You know, could he not tow the ship in swimming? And
even when he did move the ship, he pushed it.
Yeah. So I guess they're still thinking of Superman more the man part than the super part.
Because nowadays, he'd fly out there, he'd pick up the ship, and he'd fly it to shore. Boom, done.
Yeah, literally. You know? There would be a panel with probably one hand, and he'd be, you know, holding the ship. And yeah, so what else? Just very aggressive. Aggressive to the people. To get back, you know, when he got there, save us. Aggressive about fighting the fire, getting the people to do that. There's a couple places in the stories, the next couple stories, where he's even more so.
Yeah.
But just very, very aggressive, I thought.
Even as Clark Kent, because then when he goes to the company that owns the ship. Okay. We're just going to pause a moment, and I'm going to move this freaking cat.
Okay.
Good Lord.
Oh, the difficulties of being a cat dad, I know all too well.
Good Lord. It's not one thing, it's another.
Doug S. says he's crying here with his little emoji, by the way. laughing.
Yeah, I don't blame you, Doug. I don't blame you. I mean, the way he was laying across this laptop, he kept slowly edging the camera off to the side of it. And I knew at any moment it was just going to topple over. And then one of his paws was almost resting atop the cord of the camera that's plugged into the side of the laptop. And that's why the camera kept switching off, because he kept kind of pressing on it with his paw. And it's just like, dude, there are so many other places in this house to sleep. But I guess the top of the laptop is pretty warm.
Probably warm.
He likes it up there.
He's packing, you know, because you're right there. So it's like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He does. This is where I work every day when I'm working from home. And he does spend probably 90% of the day here on the laptop. A lot of time, you know, telling him to get, because he can't just sleep. He has to get up every 5 minutes and stretch and lick himself. And it's just like, I can't see the monitor. You need to get down. I'm trying to work. He's funny.
First world problems.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right.
Here in panel 49 and 50, you were, I think, alluding to where he picks up the dude at the general manager, the assistant at the manager's office, and throws him.
Yeah.
Well, we assume he throws him. Maybe he just hefts him up over his head, and maybe he sets him back down. I don't know. We don't actually see him throwing. We're assuming that's what he did.
You don't see that often when he's Clark Kent, which is, I think, the part that shocked me the most about that scene, because he goes up to the guy and he's like, I want to see the boss. And he's like, he's in a meeting right now. Well, let's just see. And picks him up over his head.
Yep.
It's like, dang, Clark, settle down. You know, because he's supposed to, I don't know, you would think that at some point this guy would be like, I'm going to at least say something to the police that this regular dude came in and just lifted me up over his head and probably tossed me into a wall. Yeah, again, we don't know what he did afterwards. Maybe he didn't set him down gently to the side, you know, but the way the guy's arms are practically, his arms and legs are flailing around over his head. Yeah.
Which that's a pretty good panel, by the way, the arc.
Yeah.
Distinctive of what's going on. Everything is illustrated the way it needs to be in order to show what is going on. There's no Clark's, one of his hands is hidden, kind of. So that's kind of, you know, a little shortcut. But perspective of the camera, you wouldn't be able to see all of that anyway. So
I think what we're not seeing with his hidden hand is that he's tickling.
It could be. That's why he's flailing.
Yeah.
So
stop it. Stop tickling me. Yep. That's what's happening. Yeah. All in all, I enjoyed this story as well. It is interesting to think about, you know, how Superman handled the crisis on the ship, compared to how he would handle it now. Because, yeah, you're right. There's not a lot really in that situation that he can do compared to what he would do now. And he really did all that he could do as Superman with his power set at the time, which was to swim out there, violently keep the people on the boat, which is funny.
Right.
And then, just go down into the hold with the fire hose and try to put that fire out, which he did.
what he would have probably blown it out today, but he doesn't have that power yet.
Exactly. So. Yep. Is this the one? I'm trying to look through it now. Does he use his X-ray vision in this issue?
That's another story.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I enjoyed him picking up the car and leaving it on top of a building. I thought that was funny.
Okay. Yep.
And then, of course, we get the Ultra Humanite back. That's
cool because that's definitely his first real supervillain.
They've definitely established him by this point as Clark's or Superman's nemesis.
Yes.
Considering that we are this is issue 17 of Action Comics, mm-hmm. and maybe is this the fourth time the Ultra Humanite has shown up so far?
I'm
the
not third sure. Maybe
or fourth time.
Yeah, at least it's not the been third. many, but it's been several.
But he's really the only reoccurring villain at this point, and he's the only villain that's not. I mean, I don't. We can't really call him a super villain.
Right,
but he's not a typical villain. You know, he's definitely he's the Ultra Humanite. So it's surprising that, you know, if you were to ask somebody from back then, if they were suddenly brought forward into the future, and they'd probably, so the Ultra Humanite is probably his big bad guy right now. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. it's Lex Luthor, and mm-hmm. Lex may be part of the comic strip. I don't know. One of the things we're discovering from reading a lot of this is that most of Superman's real firsts that are still part of the mythology today didn't even happen in many of these issues. They happened in the newspaper strips or on the radio show. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that happened on the radio show that made it into the comics. I just find all that kind of interesting. And in fact, I ended up looking up the whole, I know we talked once about the first time Superman flies, because I was mm-hmm. looking up to find out when we're going to get to that. And, I had originally read there used to be a column over on Comic Book Resources. I think it was called Comic Book Legends Revealed, and the guy wrote a book. And that's where I first ran across the thing where he actually first flew in the Fleischer animated features, because the animators got tired of animating him leaping, bending of the knees and leaping. It was just easier. Just let him fly. And they went to DC and they said, can we do that? And DC's like, yeah, go ahead. We'll have him start flying in the comics as well. But then I read an update to that. And while still that is technically true, there's actually an issue of, I wish I had it in front of me. I'll have to get that ready for a future episode, but there's an issue of Superman or Action Comics that shows Superman flying, but it's because the artist made an error. The artist didn't know that Superman didn't fly, and based on panels from previous issues, because we see him jumping and he looks like he's flying. If you look at certain panels out of context, you will assume he's flying,
right?
And that's apparently what this artist thought, was that Superman flew, and so that's how he drew him in the issue. And so technically, he's seen flying first in an issue of Superman, but he doesn't have that power at that point until that Fleischer cartoon.
Speaking of the Fleischer cartoons, it just, all of those 24 episodes, I think, something like that, just became available on an app called Freevee that was the former IMDb app, but it is available for free, I believe, on the Amazon Fire Stick.
It's a
free app there. So
nice.
It may be available elsewhere, but this past week, I saw somebody say that all of the Fleischers were available on Freevee, which is a free app. So
I don't have Fire Stick, but I've watched
two or three of those. Yeah. See if you can download
it to my smart TV or something.
Either that or to a laptop or something like that, and you can watch them. Yeah.
Because those, I've only seen a few of them.
Yeah.
So they're amazing looking. They're really neat.
It seems that they are better. Well, not seem. To me, they're better than what I thought cartoons were at that time, or animation was at that time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm underestimating animation, or it truly was the pinnacle of animation at the time. But they definitely, the style and everything holds up today, I think, very well.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So. All right. Anything else you want to say about this issue?
I don't believe.
Okay. All right. Well, let's wrap it up then. I want to thank everyone for listening.
Hang on, Stephen. We have somebody, Piper Cody. Oh. indicates that the flying first happened in the radio show.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
And is this the first time Piper Cody has chimed in with us?
I believe so.
I believe as well. I don't recognize having seen Piper Cody before. So welcome.
Welcome.
And thank you for the info tidbit. Yeah, I forgot about the radio show, but that's going on at this time too. Superman's just everywhere at this point.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's weird that a lot of stuff that we take for granted today in Superman seems like the first time it happened wasn't in the comics. It was either in the radio show or the strips or even in the TV show. I heard there's a lot of stuff though that happened in the TV show that never made it to the TV show. Just didn't really give a crap about what was going on in the comics.
They did their own thing.
Did what they wanted to do. And I don't know if that was the case with the radio show as well. But
was a what if TV show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that was a good interruption. All right. So I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us a line, ask us a question, or just provide feedback in general, you can send an email to thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us over on Twitter at Supes Super Show is the handle, or come join in on all of the fun over at the forum at forum.justanotherfanboy.com. All those links will be in the show notes. And so until next week, folks, I'm Steven.
I'm Ed.
That's Ed. And this was the Superman Super Show.
Bye. Bye.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. Questions and comments can be directed to thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, you can help to boost our presence online by leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. The Superman Super Show is a presentation of Steven or Else Media. For more nerdy content just like this, check out stevenorelse.com or just use the link in your show notes. Superman is a registered trademark of DC Comics and was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Superman's bad. I mean, he was bad.
The Clarion springs a leak after this, and Superman jumps aboard, The Clarion, good Lord. Let me just take a breath. All right.
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context switching that can distract employees and costs your company. Luckily, Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to crank out clear, on-brand emails, documents, messages, and more. In just one click, they can go from blank page to first draft, all without leaving the page they're on. Grammarly has 15 years of experience building effective, secure AI that can be implemented in days with minimal IT overhead. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences, whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to Grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.